Tēnā koutou te whānau, this is the Māori Millionaire Disclaimer. For your information, this is not investing advice and it should not be taken as such. This is all general education for just general purposes. I'm here to help share my experiences and educate you guys as much as I can, but it is not financial advice, so please do not take it as such. Ngā mihi. Māori ora I te whānau, welcome back to a new podcast episode. This is the Māori Millionaire Podcast. Today, I am so excited for a brand new episode. I have received so many questions during my time of Māori Millionaire about scholarships. How do you apply for them? And for me, I've only ever gotten one scholarship, honestly. I've applied for so many, but my applications must just be trash or I don't know what it is, but unsuccessful with the scholarship game. So I'm so excited for today's kōrero because we're going to learn a lot more about scholarships, among other things. And there's so much we want to talk about today. Today I have Leilani with us. She is a young woman raised in Manurewa, South Auckland, but now she lives in Palmerston North with her whānau. She's an enterprise and governance changemaker, Pacifica and student advocate, and a full-time student in her final year of undergraduate studies at Massey University. She is studying a double degree and a Bachelor of Business majoring in Management and a Bachelor of Arts majoring in Psychology. Oh my gosh, I do not know how she does this. This is incredible. She has received 10 scholarships, meaning that she's able to graduate high school and university debt-free, which is absolutely incredible because the amount of people I know that graduate their degrees with like $60,000 student loan debt is insane. So I'm really excited to learn more about this journey and how scholarships have enabled Leilani to open doors and to go into rooms that support her in her professional and personal development. She is a true trailblazer and the first to attend university in her whānau, which is so cool. She's co-authoring a journal article in her second year of her undergraduate studies and entering the corporate world. So I'm so excited to have you here with us today, Leilani. Kia ora, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Did you want to start off with a introduction, ko wai koe, nohia koe, and yeah, I would love to learn more about you and who you are and what you stand for.
Kia ora and te alofa te kahukura. Thank you for having me on the podcast. It's honestly an honor to be here. I told like one of my besties that I was coming on, she's like, no way. No way you're being on Māori Millionaires podcast. I'm such a big fan. So firstly, just want to give you your flowers and honour and celebrate you and your achievements. When you go on Spotify, for some reason it defaults to your oldest podcast first. And I was listening, I was like, who's that cute man with her? I was like, oh, they're together. And so that was cool. And then I realised that I could go to the newest ones and seeing your growth from your first episodes to your most recent episodes is so amazing. So yeah, just wanted to honour you and your podcast. It's been amazing to watch you and your journey. In terms of me, Dalofa everyone. Firstly, want to give all glory to God for his blessings and favor upon my life. I am Leilani Feiwaso. I'm a proud Samoan young woman. I'm like Te Kahukura said, I'm born and raised in Manurewa, South Auckland, 267, let's go. But I'm from the villages of Leolumawenga, Falealupo, Salelolonga, and Fatoia in Samoa, so 685 to the world. Third generation New Zealand-born Samoan. And now living in Palmerston North, like you said, I just want to honour my family and my village who have raised me and helped me be the woman that I am today, especially my grandparents, my parents, sisters, friends and teachers. You've already highlighted so much about me, but to go off what I wrote on my script, I wear many hats. I'm the eldest daughter, oldest sister, cat mom, university student, Pacific and youth advocate, serving on multiple committees this year. Just to name a few, Young Enterprise Trust, Palmerston North City Council, Pacifica Reference Group and Pacifica Fusion, and more. Yes, I am passionate about social enterprise and innovation, and I really hope that for everyone listening here, especially our youth in Pacific, to inspire you guys to strive for excellence in all ways by saying yes to opportunities and being confidently curious. But in saying all that, I'm still the biggest bots and Delulu girl when it comes to anything in life. So just humbling myself there before I get a bigger head. But that's me. Yeah.
That's so beautiful and amazing. And I'm so excited to hear more about your journey. Can we start with Pūtea and money? And what is your relationship there like? And what does this mean for you? How does this affect your journey?
Yeah. Money, honestly, in our family, like, isn't one of those conversations that you often talk about. Coming from a Samoan family, and I guess our Pacific cultures too, money is almost like a taboo conversation, just given, like, the times and also socioeconomic situations. Growing up in Manurewa, I talk about how I was surrounded by poverty but didn't experience it myself, so I recognize the privileges that I have there. My parents were really, really intentional with mortgages, finances, like things that they had to pay off, and I was never one that was exposed to the challenges that they had there. So I was really grateful to have parents like that and a family that, I guess, sheltered me from those financial challenges. But I guess when I do notice my patterns now, I'm very frugal with money. Like, I hold money and I put in my savings and I don't spend it. But I guess it's in recognizing how our Samoan culture is very generous with money and we give with love. One of our words is mea lofa, which is like to give with love, or like a gift of love. And with money here in Aotearoa, it's a big mea lofa often. Some of our funerals and birthdays and stuff, we've given like so much money. And I'm not talking like hundreds of dollars, I'm talking thousands of dollars. But that's how we express our lofa, our love. But I've recognized the negative impacts that has had on our money. Heaps of aunties and uncles or stories that I've heard, you know, gone into debt, pulling out of loans just to make up for those financial expectations in our culture. So it's a bit of a torn world for me, being a New Zealand-born Samoan, seeing the neoliberal economic lens of money and the efficient way to do business and finance versus the service and culture and love that we have for our people and the things that we invest ourselves into.
Wow, those are some incredible stories, and I think it's such an important corridor that we need to be having. And I think I haven't actually seen much content on this and, you know, some of the potential negatives of some of our cultural practices. And I think one of the differences is that we haven't had, in my opinion, there's been areas where we haven't evolved with our culture and some things that need to change that haven't. So I'm interested in that area, and if you wanted to go into more detail, Kei Te Pai Tera. Otherwise, I would love to hear a bit more about your backstory, your journey, and how you kind of came to be the person you are today.
Yeah, I guess just going back to the money conversation, it's a really hard conversation to even bring up, and I think talking about it now, I feel really privileged and I'm honoured to be able to have the space to kind of start that conversation. And there's a lot of people that I think of that come to mind. Latavia Toltai is a really amazing sister of mine. Sorry, I think I said her last name wrong, but she is, if you at her in the bio, she is a really amazing sister who's all about eradicating poverty, and she talks about how to do that love and service, but in other ways than financial means. We recognize back in the islands that often our mea lofas or gifts were done like with food or products or the effort that it was put in to get to like celebrating the event, whatever it was. But I think it's really hard for our cultures to adapt, especially our traditions, because we recognize for all of our grandparents and parents who have migrated to New Zealand and Australia and the likes, it's a whole different like system, and money works so differently to how it did back in our homelands. So I just also want to preface that context, because it's hard to change to a system that wasn't made for you, especially when the system is set up to have policies that make you have to work harder and think that you're actually going to thrive if you work harder. And I think one of the things your podcast highlights is the richer aren't working harder, they're working smarter, and they're doing things with money that often we won't think of. And so I guess it's just learning how to be wise with your money, but also trying to uphold your culture and honor those like traditions.
Definitely, and having that kind of balance, and in my experience it can be really hard sometimes, like if in the past when I've been broke or things like that, and maybe a tangi comes up and you know you need to give koha, same concept I think, and knowing like, oh, do I take it out of like my emergency fund, is this an emergency, or do I not give? Like, those are the things that, you know, some people think about, and I think it's really important to be having these conversations. And one thing that I do now, which I didn't do at the beginning, was I actually have an account, and it's specifically for that. So I call it my koha account, And I know other people, like I know someone who calls it her Manaaki Aroha account, and there are different ways to kind of work through that. But also, if you don't have puta or if you don't have money, and just in general, then saving to give is like a whole different concept if you can't put kai on the table or, you know, things like that. And I think at the moment it's a really hard time for a lot of families to be kind of moving through. So what is it that kind of got you to what you're doing now, and what are the things that are important to you in that journey?
Yeah, so let's talk about scholarships, because that's one of the main reasons I'm here, right? So I'll give my TED Talk story, but I'll try and make it real quick. Grew up in Manurewa, surrounded by poverty, didn't experience it, but I was always really passionate about learning and trying new things, and thrived in schools because our teachers back then were so good and always like went above and beyond their jobs to make sure that we thrive. So in year six, my auntie and uncle, shout out to Uncle Bear, wanted me to apply for an Endeavour scholarship, which would cover all my tuition fees and help me attend a private all-girls school, St. Cuthbert's College in Central Auckland, from year 7 to year 13, so intermediate all the way through to high school. I had never heard about the scholarship, didn't even know that private schools existed, didn't know anything really outside of South Auckland, and then applied for that. That scholarship, just to give context for anyone listening, is available for Māori and Pasifika students. When you're in year six, you can apply to be like the year seven recipient. And it's also available for boys at King's College as well. It's still going today. And ever since receiving that Endeavour scholarship, it honestly changed my whole life. My education that I received that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to get, and the opportunities and connections that it made were really cool. And from there, I always recognized scholarships and opportunities as a door opener to pathways that could enable me to be the best version of myself in spaces that I otherwise wouldn't be able to access. It was a really good stepping stone that helped me get up the ladder. And then in year 13, so this is at St. Cuthbert's now, it was really uncertain time because it was during 2020, so the COVID year. I was unsure of what to do next, hadn't really explored what I could do outside of school. My parents didn't go to university, so at their age, they were working for their families to make sure that they could have, you know, financial stuff, food on the table, etc. But I had a career advisor at school and a good support system that helped me understand what university could mean for me. So I ended up applying to University of Auckland, Auckland University of Technology, Massey University, and Victoria University in Wellington. And I actually got offers and scholarships from all four of those universities. So I had options, girl. I had options. And I was like, hey, look at me go. And I was really excited to be able to have those opportunities to go to university. And like I said, again, it unlocked so many doors and opportunities for me. So I ended up choosing Massey University. And then I moved down to Palmerston North after graduating, and started at Massey. But my scholarship journey didn't actually end there. Once going to university, I still applied for heaps of scholarships every year. Since starting at Massey, there hasn't been a year where I haven't applied for a scholarship because there's so much available out there. So I kept applying. I was working part-time jobs too. But then I realized last year that because of all the scholarships that I had received, which I calculated as like six scholarships just through Massey, I could actually pay off all my degrees, like you've said, which was a really huge achievement for myself and my family, because not only was I uncertain about what uni looked like for me, but also what, like how I would financially cope. I mean, so to be able to go, oh yeah, like financially, like nothing's on my back and I don't have to worry about a big student loan, was a huge privilege. And I've had girls from St. Cuth's go to me, oh my gosh, I've got like a $30,000 student loan. I'm like flatting in Wellington, like, it was a huge game changer for me to have that financial freedom. I was really grateful for that. To give the math for anyone that wants to calculate that, it's 4 years and roughly 8,000 per year. So that's kind of the value of all the scholarships. But recently, scholarships have also helped my career journey. If you see my gram, you would have seen that I started my corporate girl era. And last year, I was a recipient of the PASPL Lelu Manaʻi Scholarship, which provided financial support, a guaranteed summer internship, and a potential pathway to a graduate role at Deloitte, New Zealand. And that was really awesome. I interned in Auckland in the consulting business unit with the HealthPod team and the CS&D team, and I'm really looking forward to what the future holds there. But just relating to the money and finances part, it just goes to show that scholarships not only help me unlock my educational pathways, but I also had scholarships that helped me in my opportunities, events, and also my career too. So yeah, it's really cool.
Beautiful story, and there's so much that I feel scholarships have provided you with. But I also know that there are so many people who look at scholarships and don't bother applying, you know. And I've had my fair share, because every time I would apply, you know, as I said at the start, I didn't know what it was, but I'd get rejected. And so there have been times where I've seen them, I'm like, oh, is there really any point? Because I'll probably just reject it anyways. What would you say to people that don't apply for scholarships or maybe just think that they're out of reach?
Yeah. Honestly, like, on top of my head, it's just try. And when I say that, I mean, try if you think that you don't qualify, try despite how hard it may seem, try even if you don't have enough time, because the opportunities and outcomes outweigh the input that you put into it, and you benefit so much from scholarships. I was reflecting on it yesterday, and I've only really spent a couple of hours or days on applying for scholarships, and it hasn't, I guess, put me back in terms of my development, because it's actually helped me grow whether or not I get the scholarship to go, okay, I got the scholarship, now what opportunities can I get from that? Or if I haven't gotten the scholarship, how can I learn from that and grow better so I can do it better next time? There's a lot of like scary and negative stereotypes and stigmas around scholarships, you know, often that you don't qualify, well, you never know until you put yourself out there, or it's a scary and daunting process. There's so much help and support that you can ask for, but don't count yourself out, and definitely challenge that imposter syndrome that's within you, because that's real.
Love it. So powerful. Thank you so much. Can you talk through a little bit about the process of applying? Like, where do you find the scholarships and how do you work through that?
Yeah, so scholarships are like available on a range of different websites and stuff. If you're looking at universities specifically, it's on the university website. When you go to enroll, often they have like different scholarships available that are advertised, and that's where I went for Massey University and all the rest of the universities that I applied for. But I also want to give a shout out to Young Leadership NZ, I think that's their name.
Yeah,
they are run by the multi-ethnic communities young group in New Zealand, and they advertise heaps of scholarships and opportunities and events that are available for our young people, and I've gotten a couple of like scholarships and stuff through them that they have advertised, which have meant that I get scholarships that might not be for education but personal and professional development. But apart from that, I think Scholarships New Zealand, there's a website that's called that. They advertise scholarships from all the databases of universities. Yeah. Was that your question, sis, or did you say the process?
Oh, yeah. So just maybe like when they come up, what normally happens? Is there forms that you need to fill out, or do you have to do like letters? Like maybe for the people who have had no experience applying for scholarships, like what do you actually have to do to be able to apply for a scholarship?
Sorry, I thought I went like way off track there. Process that I should have answered is, when you look at scholarships that are advertised on a website or university website or just a general careers website, generally there's like an open period time window from when the scholarship submissions can be made. So when you look into the criteria, often there's like things that you'll have to meet. Heaps of scholarships, unfortunately, in New Zealand don't apply to international students, but for our New Zealand citizens here, especially Māori and Pasifika, often there's allocated scholarships for them. And so just making sure that you like meet all those criteria and eligibility things, and then you can look into the like what's required. So when generally most scholarships have references that you need, so like a character reference and an academic reference. I'm talking in university context here. And what those will look like is like think of it like a letter of recommendation that someone will have to write on you to justify your like academic grades or your community involvement. And then you'll also have to write a personal statement most of the time, like kind of selling yourself on paper, like what are you about? Why would you be good for the scholarship? Why do you need it? And then you might also need your transcript, which if you're in high school, you know it's your ROA or like your achievement thing that's a paper form. And then it's in university, your transcript, which you can download somewhere. And then, yeah, you put all those things into one and you apply where the application website is advertised, and wait from there. Generally, when you hear back, it might be a follow-up or it might be like a yay or nay, you got it, you haven't got it. Some scholarships require interviews, some don't, but it's maybe like a 2 or 3 step process to actually get the scholarship itself.
that's incredible. So just looking at my other questions that I had for you, and I feel like you've answered them, but so it's been so helpful. I guess I wanted to touch a little bit on maybe some of the hard times you've experienced as a university student. I know that often at times Māori and Pacifica have a very different experience to just the general university population. There's different barriers, there's different struggles that we have to go through. I would be so interested to hear about, even if it's not in detail, about your personal struggle, but maybe how you've overcome these and how you push through, because it's so hard. And for anyone that's listening in, maybe they're already a university student and they're struggling with motivation or whatever it is, what gets you through? What gets you up every morning? How do you keep going on those hard days? Because I know we all have them, but yeah, so interested to hear about this bit.
Yeah. Honestly, when I think about the opportunities and privileges that I get to experience now, I always am reminded of the sacrifices that my grandparents and parents made. For a lot of our Pacific people, you know, our grandparents have migrated from like islands to New Zealand. Our parents, you know, worked really hard for us. And for me, I realize that I'm like a product of my grandparents' dreams and my parents' sacrifices. So I stand on their shoulders and what they have done to help me get here today. And it's in remembering that story and that why of, I guess, giving back to our families, but also wanting to see better for future families that's what keeps me going, really. But it is hard. I won't lie. Like, university might not be for everyone. And I do want to shout out to our polytechnics. As controversial as it might be, AUT and UCO and all the likes, honestly, I should have gone there because they do more hands-on work. Like, I feel like it's just a better educational system because universities are so old, bro. Who in the world like this corporate world, you know, but it does teach you good skills, and I don't want to badmouth them too much, but it's just in recognizing that success comes in many forms. You can achieve and be the best version of yourself in many ways, and if you are struggling at university and you're listening to this podcast, shout out to you for even getting into university and still trying, because again, I'm linking to what I said before, these systems weren't made for us. I mean, yet here we are still succeeding and thriving. I mean, to acknowledge yourself and celebrate the little wins can get you to the end.
And that's on Brown Excellence. We've got this. And totally on that, you know, polytechnics and stuff, I had a cousin actually who was so, like, diligent with her money. And I don't know if she did get a scholarship. Maybe she got one scholarship, I think. But most of it, she decided that she wasn't going to move to university. She was going to stay and live at home, and she was going to be really careful with her money. So she worked lots, she saved heaps. She graduated and she got a scholarship in her first year. And the other 2 years, she paid cash for by saving and working. And so she was able to graduate debt-free also. And I think she wouldn't have been able to do that if she went to a university because it was away from her whānau. And so I think, like, really looking at options and not being closed off to certain options for people is really important, because some people will say, oh, you know, only go to university, university is better. But I think, and I say this with all of my content, whether it's budgeting, whether it's investing, the pathway that works best for you is the pathway that you should go on, because we're all so different. We have so many different challenges and different journeys and things. And so if a polytech is going to work for you, then do that, because, you know, whatever works for you is best. I've learned so much about your journey. Thank you so much. Are there any kind of tips or anything that you want to leave this audience with today? I'm so grateful for your time, but is there anything that you want to share with anyone listening in today?
I think one of the things I really want to emphasize is, like, as a young person myself who hasn't honestly considered money as seriously as I know you promote the need to consider money, is, like, challenge yourself to really understand money and how to use it. For me, like, yeah, being frugal helped me save and pay off my debt, but I still have no idea about taxes or investment or how to do that. And yeah, I'm graduating university soon. And so I guess the sooner you get involved and understand money, the better you will have set yourself up for the future, and especially for our Māori and Pacifica to not be afraid to do that, especially how we talked about at the start of the podcast, you know, those cultural, I guess, boundaries, but also wanting to honour your culture. There's also ways to do that with money, respectfully, as well. But in terms of scholarships, just view them as another opportunity to help yourself grow. For me, I've always been a lifelong learner, one that loves opportunities, and it's been and saying yes to these opportunities and challenging myself putting myself out there that I've been able to do this. I know this podcast, to some of our bus speaker might come off as like brand excellence, or might come off as real like arrogant and cocky, but to me it's always coming from a place of like humility and love. And the only reason why I'm here sharing my story today is to inspire you guys, because it's often these stories of success that we need to share more of. And it's also elevating ourselves in platforms like Te Kahukuras that mean that we can have positive narratives in our communities, whether it's about money or whether it's about success. It's important to have your story shared. So in saying that, Te Kahukura wants some more Pasifika. So let's open that door and let's get some more on. I would love to see like our young people more on this platform and more Pasifika too. But I think another one that I wanted to touch on was your success narrative. Yeah, I agree. Success is not just in university or education or polytechnics. Success is however you define it. For me, I've been really privileged to be able to thrive in education, but I recognize that that's such a, I guess, a Western way of viewing things is like, if you're not in school, you're not smart. If you don't have like money, then you're not rich. And it's like, there's a lot of different ways to define or I guess like understand and view things. And to me, success has always been just me knowing that I'm doing the best that I can and being happy with that. I mean, as much as my inner recovering perfectionist is really like screaming for help, I've learned that I needed to set boundaries in terms of not pushing myself so far that I would fall on my face eventually, but knowing that I had a village behind me that I could also rely on. So just wanted to say that for our young people, our Māori, our rangatahi, and our Pasifika trailblazers, you guys all inspire us every day, and we are the reason, you guys are the reason why we keep going. So yeah, shout out to Kahukura. Shout out Māori Millionaire, and let's go.
You're so awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. And yes, totoku of that. If there is anyone that is listening to this and thinks that they have a story worth sharing, then just send me an email, because I'm so interested in having our stories shared more. There are so many non-Māori that are consistently asking me to be on the podcast. And my general thing is, if I can have a kind of, it's like a gut feeling. If I feel like people, non-Māori, want to provide value and share with our community, then I will have you on my podcast. So yeah, tautoko of that. If you're keen or if you have a story worth sharing, then send me a message. Always happy to share these stories, because you're awesome and I'm so proud of you and your mahi. This is incredible. And when I think of what young Te Kahukura, you know, wish she could see in the world, it was always that we didn't have representation in kaupapa like this. And when I read books about money, they were always written by Pākehā or people or men that were so far away in the world that I had zero relatability to them. And that's why I started Māori Millennia, was to start sharing our stories and have representation, because there will be, from you, Leila Ani, there will be a young wahine Māori or Pasifika or rangatahi in general, there will be some young people that listen to this episode, and because of you, they will apply for scholarships, and because of you, they will be able to graduate debt-free as well. And that's why representation is so important, because by having you on the podcast, you know, we're showing that people that look like us can do these things too. And so I'm so grateful for your time, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
No worries. When you mentioned representation, I listened to Island Roots Auckland Ways podcast with Marina and Alyssa, and it's Campbell, John Campbell, that talks about the need for us to shift from diversity to representation. And I think when we're thinking about money spaces, financial spaces, or educational institutions, we need to stop using the word diversity and use the word representation. Because when we think about the fact that we deserve a seat on the table, and it's not diversity seat, it's a representation seat, then our communities can truly thrive. So yep, with scholarships, there's heaps of available ones for Māori and Pasifika, but it's not until you apply that you can then truly represent your communities or those narratives. So we need more, just like you said, not diversity, we need more representation.
We do indeed. And that's awesome. I'm actually gonna, if you can send me that episode, because I want to listen to that, that sounds interesting. But yeah, thank you so much for your time today. I'm so grateful. And yeah, tēnei te mihi, nui ki a koe.